I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Stevenson. We're talking vaulting today, which is gymnastics on horseback. Absolutely incredible. Lucy Phillips represents Great Britain. She's ranked 6th in the world. She's 8 times and the current English champion. And she's going to explain all about vaulting. I mean, how do you even go about starting doing handstands on horses? Lucy will explain everything. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to our lovely guest, Lucy Phillips, who works on the World Class Programme and is amazing at vaulting. How are you, Lucy?
Yes, good, thank you.
This is really exciting because vaulting isn't a subject that we've talked about, and you compete in vaulting yourself. But I'd really like to know more about what you do for the World Class Programme because you've worked on the Olympics and you've worked on the Paralympics. What do you do there?
So my role encompasses a lot of different things. I'm responsible for giving out the kit to the championship teams, or before the Paralympics and the Olympics, I collected all the information for the accreditations. I went out to Rio and worked as the owner liaison at the Paralympics.
Oh, wow.
For the equestrian programme. So it's a lot of different things and it's really interesting. It's different from day to day.
An owner liaison then, that means mm-hmm. that you get to meet the owners of all the horses, which is very yeah. exciting because ultimately, you know, the riders are amazing, but we love the beautiful horses. So what's it like for the owners then, being able to see their horses being ridden to such a high level?
It was a really good atmosphere. They were really proud of the horses, the riders, and actually quite a few were the parents of the para riders.
Oh, really?
So it was interesting to see the pressure that they felt from themselves watching their son or daughter competing on the horse that they own. So it was really interesting and it was such a good atmosphere.
So can you tell me then, because you do vaulting, why isn't mm-hmm. vaulting in something like the Olympics or the Paralympics?
It used to be an Olympic sport quite a long time ago. I think we need some more countries to take part, but there's a petition going around. So hopefully, fingers crossed, in a few years' time, it will become an Olympic sport.
And how was it something that you got involved in? Because, okay, growing up, yeah, we have gymnastics and somebody had this genius idea of saying, let's do gymnastics on horses. But it's only something that we've only really seen it in the circus or, you know, on a show, but the fact mm-hmm. that you can actually compete it for a living is amazing.
Yeah, so I started when I was 6 years old because my dressage trainer that my mum had at the time was German, and vaulting was such a big sport in Germany and Europe and now in America, and he suggested going along to a vaulting club in Warwick. So I went along when I was 6, was stood up on the horse in canter my first time, and wow. fell in love with the sport and never gave up, and now I'm 26 and still going.
How many people do you think actually take part in vaulting?
There's over 500 people at the minute, 500 members in British Equestrian Vaulting, but it's a growing sport, and actually for a small vaulting nation we're really good at it. So we had Joanne Eccles, who won the World Equestrian Games in 2010 and in 2014, and numerous European and world titles in between that. So although we're small, we're really good.
Can you explain for us then exactly what vaulting is? Because I see it as amazing athletes, gymnastic athletes that are doing all these incredible stretches and handstands and climbing on top of each other, all whilst a horse is cantering round.
So it's described as gymnastics on horseback, but actually now it's becoming more like gymnastics and acting on horseback,
Oh,
because
really?
you have the artistic side of things. So you have to tell a story with your body and your facial expressions and your movements on the horse. And the horse is actually worth 25% of your total mark. And then you
Wow.
get technical marks and artistic marks. So, it is essentially gymnastics on horses with the acting and the dance side of it as well. And you can compete as an individual or a pas de deux or a team. So a team consists of six people, and you can have three people on the horse at the same time. So that's
Wow.
when you see everyone piling on top of each other.
Gosh, is that quite dangerous though when you're doing your training? Because again, I can only look at it by what I've seen in gymnastics alone without the horses. So when they're training, they have nets underneath them, they have, these big bags in case they fall off. But if you're trying to teach a horse to trot and canter at the same time, you can't put nets underneath you.
No, so we train a lot on the floor and on a barrel, which is an oil drum with legs. And until you're safe on the floor and the barrel, then we don't go on the horse, or we go and walk on the horse. And when it's steady and walk, then we go into canter. And we've also started using mechanical barrels now. So you go from the floor to the static barrel to the moving barrel and then onto the horse. And that protects the horse as well, because if you're not strong enough to hold the moves on the barrels, then it's really unfair on the horse if you're falling on him or crashing down. So it's to protect the horse as well. That's why we train a lot on the floor.
Could you use one of the new mechanical horses that we've seen? Where people are learning how to ride on a mechanical horse. I wonder if you could use one of those.
Yes, we have used one of those for vaulting to practice our individual moves, because the neck was slightly in the way. So someone in Germany has developed a mechanical barrel with no neck. So you can put three people on that. So yeah,
Wow.
it's growing, the use of mechanical horses and barrels.
And how many horses do you have?
I have two. So I have my old competition horse, Pitticelli, who's 19 this year, and he is mainly now used just for training. He's not doing any more competitions. We've retired him because he's been vaulting for 10 years now at the high level. So I've got a baby horse who's called Eric, he's 7, and actually he's going really well so far. He's been vaulting since July, and we've taken him to the English Championships and the British Championships. And we're going to start competing him internationally this year. So,
Amazing.
yes,
Oh,
it's all very
good.
exciting.
And have you trained him yourself?
He was trained with a group in Holland for 2 months, while I finished off going to the World Championships last year and went to Rio. And then we got him back over, and yes, we've been training him, and we've got the help of the English vaulting squad. So we've had some littler people on him and people running around in front of him, and he doesn't seem to mind anything. He's pretty chilled out, so
What's his
it's exciting.
breeding?
His grandfather is Jazz, and his sire is West Point. So he's a KWPN horse, and he's 17.3 at the minute.
Oh my
And
goodness.
he's quite big, and he's going to fill out quite a lot. We need to ride him.
Builds
Yes.
up muscle and strength and make him really athletic.
Yeah, we only vault on him twice a week, and the rest of the time he's ridden or he's lunged or he's worked from someone on the ground. It's really important to ride the vaulting horses as well, because they can't just go around in circles for the whole week. So I'm actually sponsored by Bates Saddles at the minute, which is I'm really, really grateful for them. So Eric's got a brand new dressage saddle, so we're going to start competing him in some unaffiliated dressage as well to get him
Oh,
out
lovely.
and seeing things that's not just a vaulting arena.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Does it put extra pressure on the horse's back then? So Eric, does he need extra padding on his back where there's a lot of weight there?
He has a felt back pad with a sponge under the handles, which is called the roller that we put on him. So as long as you're soft, then it's fine. That's why it's so important to keep training on the floor and be entirely responsible for your whole body. So you have enough strength to hold the movements when he's walking, not cantering. So we don't really use any additional protection, but as I said, as long as you're soft, then he's
Yeah,
okay.
because you don't want to be falling on his back and sitting down
No.
hard because that'll
No.
hurt him. So yeah, I guess your balance must be phenomenal.
Yes. It's actually better on a moving horse than it is on something like a beam in the gym. It's really weird. But I think it's because I'm so used to standing on a horse since I was 6 years old that it's second nature to me. And we have a few older vaulters that have been at the top level and come back 5 or 6 years later, because it helps with fitness. And actually, they haven't really lost any of their skills at all. They're kind of ingrained. Yeah, they can still jump on, they can still stand, they can still do most of the things that they would do. I think it's when you've learnt it, then it's kind of sticks in your mind, sticks in your body.
They say it's like riding a bike. Yeah. I'm really envious of you. I'd love to be able to jump on a horse. I still need a leg up.
It's actually easier to jump on when it's moving than when it's standing, as silly as that sounds.
How do you do that? Do you have to run next to it and then just kind of pull yourself over?
Yeah, so the horse is lunged on a 20-metre circle, and you get into the rhythm of the canter, hold on to the grips, and then feel the canter. And on the upbeat, you jump off both feet, and then hopefully you land on however you want to, and stand upside down, handstand.
in my brain, though, that's not a normal thing to do. So you must... Did your brain, when you first started, did your brain struggle and think, well, you know, this isn't right, this doesn't feel right? Do you always have to teach your brain that that's okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, in some moves, like the new moves that I'm learning at the minute, I stand on the back and think, okay, how am I going to do this? But as long as you've perfected it on the barrel and you're brave and don't overthink things, as soon as you start thinking, I could fall, or I could fall on my face, or I could hurt myself, then that becomes a bit dangerous because you don't put 100% of effort in. As long as you go for the move, then it should be okay.
Gosh.
Hopefully.
Well, there's no one there to catch you, Lucy, so you've got to be okay. So what kind of moves then do you do when you're vaulting?
So the competition is split into three rounds. So the first round is compulsory exercises, which is a set of moves that everyone has to do. And they consist of like stands, mill round, which is like around the world you'd learn in Pony Club, but you have to have straight leg, which is touching your nose, with a straight back, pointed toe. Then we have scissors, which is you swing up to handstand and do a turn.
Wow.
So those are the basic compulsory moves. And then the next round is a freestyle round where you can do whatever you want to do. So for me, I do lots of stands, jumps, shoulder stands, handstands. And you have to really show what you're good at in your freestyle routine. So last year I did the Hunger Games. So
oh,
I did
amazing.
A lot of kind of strength moves because that was the character of Katniss Everdeen. So then if you are in the top 15 at a championships, then you go through into the second round, and the third round of the competition is a technical test. So you have 5 set moves that are set by the FEI, and you have to include them into a freestyle.
Right.
So they test different things like jump force, flexibility, balance, strength. So you put those into a freestyle. It's kind of like a dressage to music test.
Are you allowed to use music with it? Is that part of the artistic side?
Yes, we do everything to music, the compulsory technical and freestyles to music. So you have a theme, or you have a particular type of style, and you're judged on how you interpret the music and portray it to the audience. So if you really capture the audience.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gets into the story that you're telling, then you're more likely to get a higher artistic score.
Wow. Lucy, I'm fascinated with the whole thing. I've got so many questions for you. Are you allowed to use props? Can you use things with your
original? No.
Because I really want you to, this has like been a childhood dream of mine, is to stand on a horse and hula hoop with fire whilst it's canting around. So I thought if we can get you doing that in the games, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. But no, we're not allowed to use props at the minute. We can have, on our outfits, we can have things hanging off as long as they're not really flapping. We have a certain length that they can be, and you can have a skirt, but that's about it.
Oh, we need to change that somehow, because you know, a part of being artistic is having, you know, the long white glamorous dress that flows out the back and all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, maybe in the future it'll change and we can have a few props.
So what are your plans then? What do you do now for 2017? When's the next big games that you'll be competing at?
So at the end of 2017, we have the European Championships in Austria. So all being well, if we qualify for that, we'll take Eric there. But it's going to be a different year for me because I have the new horse and I have no idea how he's going to react in competition under the pressure. Mm. He's fine where we're taking him at the minute. We take him a lot of different places for training so he can see different things and different arenas, but that it's the atmosphere. We're not sure how he will respond to that, but he is only 7, so who knows.
7's quite young then for a vaulting horse. So what would the average kind of suitable age be when you'd expect them to be okay at everything?
It depends on the horse, really. Some people have 8-year-olds and they're perfect, or you have a 14 or 15 year old horse that has been to different things, seen the arena, felt pressure. And that's normally, we have horses that have had a first career first. So they've been a dressage horse, or they've been a show jumper, or they've been to competitions, they've seen things. But then again, it's kind of changing these days. You can be like, I've bought a younger horse, so he's been a dressage horse. He's done a few competitions, but we'll see how he makes it out as a vaulting horse.
And to qualify then, how many competitions are there throughout the year, and where are they?
There's not as many vaulting competitions as there are dressage shows or jumping shows, but they're anywhere from Sydney to France.
Oh, wow.
They're all over the world.
There was me thinking, you know, you'd just pop over to Birmingham and, you know, you'd be able to qualify there. But no, you're travelling the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll do a couple. We'll do one in France, Belgium, Holland, maybe one in Germany. So if I need to get a score of a 7 average to qualify for the championships, because Eric already has his score in Britain to go abroad. So we'll do all the competitions in Europe.
Yeah. And how did the scoring work then? So obviously it's for each competition, each discipline is different. So how does the scoring for vaulting work?
You are marked out of 10 on your exercises. Mm-hmm. And that makes up the technical marks. And then you have an artistic score, which is how you interpret the music, whether you use the whole horse, whether you use like the outsides of the horse, its croup, up its neck, you're in the air. That's another kind of aspect of it. You have to show a jump. So that's the artistic side of things. And then the horse score is judged on the same like scales of training.
Okay. So,
and then that's worth 25% of the total mark. We get an overall score out of 10.
Right.
For everything. So the judges' scores are averaged at the end of it. So if you have, say, your compulsory elements, then you'd get a score out of 10 for each compulsory move, and then you'd get an average at the end of it, which would be your score. Mm-hmm. And for freestyle, you get degree of difficulty. So the more difficult the moves are means there's less point of contact. So the most difficult thing you could do is standing on one leg on the croup. That would be a risk move.
Yeah.
So that's the most difficult. And then the next category down is just difficult. So that would be like a handstand in the handles with your legs up straight. That's a difficult move. And then You have like a medium move, and an easy move would be something like a sit on the back holding on with both hands.
Well, to be honest, it all sounds very difficult to me. It all sounds highly dangerous, very difficult, but very exciting at the same time. Are you part of the World Class Programme? I know you work for them, but do they support your riding too?
So we do have a lot of support from the British Equestrian Federation. They provide us with kit to go to the championships, and they're always on hand if we need advice, and they give us the media people cover our sport, so that's really nice. And say at a World Equestrian Games, it's really nice to feel as part of the team because all disciplines are there, all eight FEI disciplines. So we do feel part of the bigger team.
Good. So it should be. I still want to add the hula hoop with fire, though. I'm going to have a word. Well, it's good that you work for the World Class Programme, because ultimately, if you worked for a bank, I don't think they'd allow you to have as much time off.
Yeah, it's really nice, actually. And I do finish work earlier on a Wednesday to go and do my training in the evening. And the new CEO of the British Equestrian Federation, Claire Salmon, she is all into the vaulting, loves it. So it's really, really handy. And it's handy to ask for advice in the office or for people to kind of understand the pressure of the sport. And it's really good. It's a really good working atmosphere.
So just going back to the normal gymnastics where there is no horse involved, and the vaulting that they do the vault there, don't they? And they do it on a horse, but it's not a real horse.
No.
And at what point was that... Okay, just going back into a little bit of history, was that developed before people decided to put it on a real horse? Or did it just so happen to be called a horse, or was it the other way around?
I don't actually know the answer. I know that vaulting was really developed from they taught vaulting in the army to be able to get on and off the horse quickly.
Yeah.
And it was also on cave paintings years and years and years ago.
Really?
So that's where it was developed from. And it was in the Olympic Games in the 1930s, I think.
So our mission then is to get it back into the Olympic Games, and I guess you do that by generating more support around the sport and more people taking part in it.
Yes, exactly, and so more countries that take part in it.
More countries. Well, I don't know if I can do more countries, but I can have a go at the UK. Okay, so are there local clubs? How do we get involved in this? If we're thinking about maybe having a go, probably not at my age at 32. I'm probably not flexible enough to even think about it, but maybe...
Oh, no, it's fine.
Really?
It's fine for a keep fit. It's really good, actually, because it's whole body exercise. So if you're a rider who wants to have a go at doing something to help your riding, say increase your core stability and your confidence, then vaulting is amazing. And there's groups all across the country which can be found on the British Vaulting website.
Okay, I still don't think I'd want to put the horse through that hell, though. I mean, the whole thing you said earlier about being soft and gentle, I mean, poor Blackjack would be like, get off me. But would be interested to... I'd definitely be interested to go and watch a show or go and watch a competition. I mean, where can we go and see it?
So there's British vaulting competitions all across the country, and there's details of those on the website as well, and they're free entry, and just come along and have a watch, see if you like it.
Yeah, and if I have a child that I'd like to get involved, then I just go to... what's the British Vaulting website?
www.britishvaulting.org, and that's got all the information on it about the competitions, the clubs, how to get involved, and more information on the sport, and a couple of like meet the vaulter sections, so you can see who our up and coming vaulters are in Great Britain.
Well, that's good. And we're going to add a vaulting section to our education hub on horsehour.co.uk, so all the links will be on there where you can click through and follow you, Lucy, because we want to follow your journey and see what you're up to. Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am. LucyP_vaulting is my Twitter.
We can follow you. Have you got any videos that we can put on the Horse Hour website? We can watch you vaulting.
Yes, I have. There's some videos on... there's quite a lot of videos on YouTube, actually.
That would be amazing. We'll borrow some of those. We'll put them on Horse Hour, and then we can watch you in action. Now, you're very humble, and I've been told that you won't shout about yourself, but please tell us how great you've done in vaulting.
Okay, so currently I'm ranked 6 on the FEI world rankings, and I have won the English championships for the last 9 years.
Oh my goodness. So if anyone knows about it, you do. Well, I hope Eric brings you all the luck in the world. I hope he's a superstar for you. It sounds like you're going to do really, really well in 2017. I can't wait to follow your journey and see how you get on. Would you mind coming back on to the Four Sail podcast at the end of the year and let us know how the European championships go?
Yes, that's fine, of course.
Thank you. And are you on Facebook and Instagram too?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we can follow. So it's Lucy Phillips. We can follow you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And don't forget to head to the British Vaulting website. Lucy, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem at all.
We'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We have a bumper of episodes coming up for you this year. You can listen to Eric Smiley next week. He talks about his event, which is the International Eventing Forum. Christopher Burton's going to be there. Sam Griffith's going to be there. Imo Mercer, which is Sam's groom's going to be there. Eric lets us into why he planned the event. The theme is the next generation. And you can also learn about what's going to be happening in the industry within the next 4 years. So not only is the event great, but Eric's episode is great as well. He gives us an insight into his life, into his training, and working with his wife, Sue, too. So I hope you enjoy that episode. We're also carrying on with the theme of education in 2017. B&W Equine Vets have been amazing and they've given me an expert every single month. So we're going to learn about infectious diseases such as strangles, colic. I mean, what do you need to look out for? What are the signs of colic and what happens when you find out your horse has colic? We'll also learn about subtle lameness, skin diseases such as sweet itch, Cushing's disease, kissing spine and spinal issues. There's so much that we need to learn over this year and I just can't wait for it. I'm so excited. And the idea is that we learn as much as we can so that we feel more confident with our horses, because there is so much information out there. And my aim for this year is for us together to get this information and be able to really look after our horses as well as we can. Being informed, that's what it's all about. So I hope you're enjoying your time with your horse. Don't forget to send us your videos, because I do love to see your journeys of what you've been up to. Just tag at Horse Hour on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can check out our YouTube account as well, where we have some videos of interviews of 2016, and you'll be able to see new interviews in 2017 of all the events that we go to. And of course, there's our website, horsehour.co.uk, full of information and education, as well as previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast. So loads to get on with for this year. I hope you have a really good week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter Mondays 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.